Good evening. Can y'all hear me? We good? Awesome. Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Morgan and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Morgan.
Hello everybody. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. All right, and tonight we are discussing step 10, which is continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. Let's welcome our panel this evening, Travis and Clint. I'm going to read the first paragraph on page 84, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. All right. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then, we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. It's you.
All right. Hey, everyone. My name's Travis. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Travis.
Start with the basics. I have a sobriety date. It's May 28th, 2017. I have a home group. It's Candlelight. We meet on Friday nights at 8 p.m. over on Colley Avenue. And I have a sponsor who knows he's my sponsor, and I work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Before I dive into this, I'll qualify real quick, because at this point we're at step 10. There was had to be a lot of stuff that to go through before this. So I grew up in a pretty middle income family in Long Island, New York, with my father that was an alcoholic, which I never really knew at the time. I was the baby of the family, so everything was kind of like sheltered from me. And I had my first drink when I was about 14 years old. A bunch of family and some strangers on the beach. There was bonfires. It was a great time. And all of a sudden, I wasn't all up in my head anymore. And I could to talk to people, and I could make jokes, and I was funny, and I thought I was hilarious. You know, I was pretty obnoxious. And drank a whole bunch, ended up vomiting, you know, the normal stuff. Woke up the next day, and while my brother and my cousins are like, all right, we're going to take it easy. We're going to wait a few days because we were in like a vacation. I was like, no, we need to do that again tonight. And I didn't drink all the time, but every chance I had to drink, I did partake. And then after I turned 21, or when I was 18, I joined the Navy. They frown on underage drinking, so I didn't really drink at all because I like to follow the rules sometimes. And after I turned 21, it was kind of off to the races. I thought I deserved it. You know, I worked really hard. Everyone else, to me, drank like I did. But as I went through this path of destroying relationships and destroying friendships, it ended up where I was pretty much drinking alone all the time, and much more frequently. I came to AA, and it took me a long time to actually get and stay sober. I tried a lot of half measures. I call them half measures. They really weren't even that. I was pretty much, what's the least amount I need to do to stay sober and keep going through this experiment of going in and coming back out, and doing that a whole bunch. But when I finally did what the book says and did what you hear pretty much every single meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is get a sponsor, get a home group, and work the steps, my life got better. And that's kind of where I'm at when we get to here, because I was taking through the steps very rapidly, because that's the way I needed to do it. I needed to be in that moment of absolute desperation. Otherwise, if I started feeling better, I would not do this. I would not do a step four. Step four is something I never wanted to do. But when I was desperate enough, I found that I was much more willing. So where this paragraph starts off, I love how it says that we vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. You know, I did steps four and five, six and seven with my sponsor, did step eight, which was kind of just talking about the list I already had, and then talked about the amends I needed to make. I was like, okay, now I can kind of just like chill a little bit. And we started reading step 10. He's like, no, this is something you start today and you do this forever now. That this isn't something I can just say, oh, well, I'll start taking inventory or realizing where I'm wrong throughout a day after I make all these other amends. It's not the way it works. And that's how I was told that's the way I'm going to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Another part that I love about this paragraph, and I apologize in advance, I know I'm going to say that a lot tonight. It always bothered me when people would be like, oh, I love this paragraph in the big book and this, and now I've become that guy because, frankly, this book saved my life when working with this sponsor. But when it tells you to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, when these crop up, we ask God to remove them. Not if, because, frankly, going through the steps didn't change who I am as a person. I still have these character defects that are going to come up in my life, and how I handle them is what's going to change once I get this God consciousness that this talks about. And that's another thing that I find it funny now, because it kind of the step 10 is telling you to basically do a steps 4 through 9 all the time and spot check yourself throughout a day, you know. Watch for these things that I discovered in step 4. Talk to someone else about them. Ask God to remove them. And then make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. And then turn my thoughts to someone I can help. I think that's, I'll stop there for now. Thanks.
Okay. I'm Clint, alcoholic. Sobriety date is the 1st of June, 07, and my home group is the principals group over in Chesapeake. And there's a few of you I've seen here before, or over there. Qualify real fast, I got sober in California the first time. I'm a repeat customer, and I hit a lot of bottoms, and this thing saved my life. This is definitely the easier, softer way, and this gave me a new way of living that is unbelievable, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, changed my whole life. I'm very blessed to be here. I drank violently. I liked it. I liked what it did to me and changed my personality. You read about it in the book, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I would like switch. The switch would go off. Sometimes I'd start off real happy and I'm all right, having a good time. And then it was just complete, and it wasn't always tequila either. So that's how it went for me, and it was like that from the very get-go. And experience after experience after experience, I have plenty of tapes to rewind that thing. And oh, it always starts out real fun, but it always ended up the same. And it's without, like, either I ran out of money or passed out or ended up in jail, one of those. And didn't work for me very well or my family. And grew up in a violent household and all that. And so when this thing we talk about, when I came into this program, I definitely had the gift of desperation. And went through these steps. The thing is, though, and it talks about this later on in here, is it's contingent on my spiritual upkeep. And if I don't do that, I have a real good forgetter, and I, breaking those windows last night was not such a big deal, you know what I mean? It's not that big of a deal. And it's not the, it doesn't work for me. So I like this way of living a lot better, and I'm definitely blessed because of it. And I have too much to list. The blessings are numerous, and I way more than I deserve. So I'll get into this 10th step here, which is good stuff. I got sober in LA my first time, and there was a group we went to. It was a men's group, and it was called the 10th step group. And this was like, once you went through this, it was like everyone shared on their 10 steps, you know what I mean? And it was like, it got pretty personal in there with these guys. And when I first came into the program, guys are hugging each other and stuff. I'm like, wow, man, I know this is LA and all that, but I didn't know it was like that, you know? And pretty soon, and like, I still have some of my best friends are from that group. And had friends that I've never had friends longer than, what, you know what I mean? A couple nights here and there, a couple weeks, you party together and then go on about your business. But I had some true friendship, and some didn't make it, you know, because of this deal. But it talks about in here the continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. I have at least probably all that on a daily basis. So this is a good thing to start with. And when I'm in this deal, when I'm doing this like vigorously, like we're supposed to do this, my life goes great. And I have nothing to complain about because I'm not running the show. And I turn it over to God, and I've cleaned up this the way of the past here. And it talks about doing a 10th step. And the way we did it in our is like you actually wrote it out. Like you put on a 4th step and do 6, 7, 8, 9 if you have, if you need to. If you hurt somebody, make amends, and then move on. And I kind of got away from that since I left that group, but I still do a, it gave me a good basis for that check that Travis was talking about on a daily basis. Like, I'll do it at work. I mean, this guy's getting on my nerves, and the self, and I got to look, why is this guy getting on my nerves? This is not what I always do. But like, why is this guy getting on my nerves? If I could do this all the time, it'd be great. Why is this guy getting on my nerves? Maybe he's having a bad day or something like that. But it's opposite. It's like this MF, or, you know what I mean? And I go straight into anger, and it's because I'm fearful that I might not get what I want, and it's all about me, you know? And sometimes I catch myself, and I actually just, and I actually do this, and it actually works tremendous. But a lot of times I don't, and I end up apologizing later and doing an actual, hey, I was wrong, and I shouldn't have acted like that. I was a complete, you know, whatever. And guys at my work, I'm in the military, and guys at my work are kind of alpha male type guys, and then everyone, they kind of looking at you, you know, like, what are you doing, dude? You know, it's like, but now it's funny though, because like, it's just the way we are. The guys would be like, we know how you are, Clint, and sometimes you fly off the handle, but you always apologize, and they don't know I'm in the program or nothing, you know what I mean? So it's kind of, it gives me, hey, maybe I'm working this thing right. But, and then love and tolerance of others is our code, and that's, if I could live by that on a daily basis, and I don't, but the main thing for this deal is I try and I practice, and I just beat myself up over and over again. I beat myself up. I'm not doing this thing right. I'm not doing it right. I don't have this love and tolerance thing down at all. Not even close. But as long as I'm practicing this deal, I find out that my life goes a lot smoother than it would be if I was running the show. And that never worked for me. So, pass on.
All right. Thanks, guys. The next reading is also on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. And we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
Promises. I love this part because it gives me something, right? This is the part that says, hey, this is all the stuff that we say will come to you as long as you do this thing. And I like that because I'm selfish and you tell me that these are all things that are going to happen in my life. And I want that. But I will say the first time I read this, I was pretty repulsed because I was like, there's no way. Like, there is no way that this is true, because for a very large period of my drinking, I do feel like I honestly wanted to stop. I didn't really know how. Where I would, I kind of had this same, like, my sponsor likes to call it a cycle of suck, which was where I would wake up hungover, feeling like garbage one day, and I'd be like, oh man, I'd try and piece together what I did the night before, because I'm a blackout drinker. I black out pretty much every single time I drink. make some half apologies for those things and spend the greater part of the morning being like, I can't do this again. I'm not going to do this another day. Like, today's going to be different. I'm just not going to drink today. And then right as I'm like right about 3 o'clock, as I'm getting off work, alcohol seems like a great idea because now I'm feeling better. I probably got some food in me at this point. I'm feeling a little bit more stable. I'm like, no, it's going to be different. I'm going to do this time. This is how, and I'm going to prove it to you. And then I'd go and I'd drink, and the same thing would happen. I'd wake up the next day. I went through a period of years of kind of living this way, which was pretty awful. So when I read this and it tells me that we'll be seldom interested in liquor, I'm like, how is that even a thing? But I can say that is my experience today. You know, after going through these steps and actually doing this thing, doing this program of action, that I am seldom interested in liquor, and that if I do think about a drink, it's like a second thought. Like, it happens for a second, and then I'm like, no, that's an awful idea. I'm not going to do that. And then that's kind of one of my many things that I know I'm not doing something. That's where it talks about, you know, that's how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. That more than likely, I'm probably not doing one of those things. Whether that be doing step 10, whether that be prayer and meditation, working with other drunks, calling my sponsor. I'll do that from time to time, where I'll forget to do that. And, you know, it's weird because it's something I've never had this this gift of like self-appraisal prior to going through the steps. I never really, like, if I was angry or depressed or sad or whatever, like, that was exactly the way I needed to feel then, and I am the most righteous person and I've never done any wrong and this is all good. And, you know, it's funny, I was just thinking about it while Clint was sharing, because a lot of things in Alcoholics Anonymous, I heard the first time that made me like legitimately angry. That's part of the reason why I chose my sponsor, was because he pissed me off real bad one time, and I was like, this is probably someone that I need to kind of keep me in check after I thought about it. And you know, recently I was talking to another drunk about step 10. And he pointed out a part in the 12 and 12, which I typically stick to the big book. I think that there's a lot of great AA literature, but I just haven't got, like, delved into that. And he was talking about this part in the 12 and 12, which says, I pulled it up already, but it was, we have found that justified anger ought to be left to those better qualified to handle it. And that's one of those things that, like, when I first hear that bothers me. So it's like, what do you mean I'm not qualified to handle that? Like, of course I can handle that. And then I find that I can. And you know, it's my periods now of working the steps the time that I find myself in a bad spot when I continue to do this is smaller and smaller, where I can take a step back and be like, hey, why am I feeling this way? Okay, well, let's look at where am I at fault, and let's make it right. And you know, I never thought that I would be a person to say that being wrong is one of the most like freeing things, but that is my experience. When I can just say, recognize that I did something wrong and say, I was wrong, how can I make this right, all that kind of just fades away. And because of that, I get these promises that this talks about. The problem has been removed, where I don't feel the need to take a drink today. And for someone that drank the way I did, that's a miracle in itself. Thanks.
Thanks, Trail. Yeah, it's this whole paragraph has been my experience as far as the alcohol goes. Like I said, I'm in the military, so I travel around and I go to bars all the time, and I'm always the designated driver with these guys, and it's usually younger guys that are burning it down, you know, and I kind of like listening to their stories sometimes, maybe not living vicariously through them, but they're just silly, some of them, you know, some of the stuff I did in the past. And but like it says on the last sentence, as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, I can go to these places. And it talks about more in the book, is I can go to these places as long as I have a good place, good reason to be there. And it's like that, like it talks about a position of neutrality. I don't have a desire to drink anymore or do the other stuff that goes along with that. And man, I never thought it would be like that either. When I first came into the program, the first thing I asked my sponsor, he asked me, he's like, what do you want out of this deal? And it talks about it. He goes, I want some sanity. That's all I want. I just want sanity. I was losing my mind. And he took me around all these places, recovery homes in LA. And by the time we got to a place, I started feeling better. And this place was a dump. And I'm like, nah, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good right now, you know? So it's like the good forgetter. And man, it shows me. And I ended up staying in that place. And shows me, as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, I don't have those thoughts of healing, you know. And I gotta come to meetings. I gotta go to meetings, and I travel a lot, so I'll go to meetings anywhere. And I'll still, they run at different places, you know. I'm sure people travel, but it's all the same message, and the book is the same. So yeah. That's all I got on that. Thanks.
All right. Our next reading is on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
Oh, look at that. It's another part I love. Right, so this beginning part, I relate to it so hard. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. I do that all the time. Pretty frequently, because like I said earlier, I'm a lazy guy. I want to find this magic concoction of like what's the minimum I really need to do to keep getting all this good stuff in my life. And you know, for a while I would let up on that spiritual program of action, and then I would end up drinking again, and I wouldn't understand why. And then it was this. I have so much pride that I don't want to, it's one of my character defects, one of many, but where I'd be like, oh, I don't want to tell anybody about this, or I'll just, you know, I don't want to admit my faults to someone else. And then I'm back in that cycle of suck that I talked about earlier. But yeah, I kind of touched on this before, the daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. For me, I'd say the probably the biggest thing that helps me realize is my patience. Like I'll know when my patience is like gone over nothing, and I'm like, well, and then that's kind of when I do that self check-in, and I can kind of look at what character defect of mine is coming out. Why am I so upset or angry or fearful or whatever of this? Whatever's going on, and kind of fix it. And for me, something that I found that works for me is when I do realize I'm like that, typically happens while I'm at work, when I have someone that is not doing what I want them to do, where I will kind of just like, I know I need to like go step away, and do, even if it's like a 5-minute meditation, and then like I immediately feel better, and then I could again do a quick step 10 and be like, hey, where am I wrong in this, and do I need to make an amends? And that's worked really well for me so far. This part, how can I best serve thee, thy will not mine be done, that was another one of those lines that really bothered me when I first got here. I didn't come here looking for any God consciousness. I was not interested in finding a God or finding a higher power, because frankly, I wouldn't say I believe. I knew that there wasn't one at that time. So it's weird how over time the things that are written in this book don't change, but my perceptions of them and my reactions to them do. Is that, you know, through taking the steps, I did have a spiritual awakening, which I didn't think was possible. And then this is something that I won't say I do it all the time, because I'm not going to lie and say I do, because I don't. But there are times where I'm like, okay, well, all right, that will be done. I'll say it real quick, and then I'll be like, I can't believe I just said that. Like, that's not really like me. But it's one of those things that, again, just kind of helps me process daily stuff and kind of try and live this better life and walk through this program. Thanks.
Thanks, John. I touched on it earlier too, resting on my laurels, and it does not turn out good for me. And usually it turns out to selfishness, self-centeredness, and that's when Travis touched on it also, is when I need to take a good look at when. It's usually when I'm upset, or like you said, patience, my temper's a little bit out of control, whatever there is there, those character defects are coming up. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do as far as keeping in touch with my higher power. And it's a great toolbox, you know what I mean? That's what this is. To me, this is a big old toolbox of tools that fit every nut, and that's been said before in here, so I'm sure everyone's heard that. Again, it's contingent on my maintenance of this deal. And I don't do things perfectly by a long shot. And I used to drive myself crazy, and I'd call up my sponsor and he'd be like, put the hammer down and move on. And that was a very hard, because I'm harder than anybody on myself. And if I think everything I do needs to be just this perfect way, and it's never going to be that way. And I finally came to the realization of that with this deal, and it's like never going to be perfect. And these tools that we have here, no one's going to do this right, you know? You can do the best you can. And I found, my experience has been, as long as I'm trudging the road, you know, to do this thing right, or just to even practice this, my life is completely better. Those times of those character defects, when those pop up, that's a lot. It's getting fewer and fewer between, and I can see the difference when I'm not going to meetings, or I'm not waking up doing my little, you know, daily reflections, reading, and getting to a meeting. When I'm out of town, it's like, oh, you know what? Maybe I don't need to go to a meeting tonight. I'll just crash out or whatever. And the next day, I'm just like, those little things start coming back. That's not like a big deal, but I mean, I notice those little things now, and that bugs me. And so that night, I'll get to a meeting, and sure enough, it's like the greatest meeting I've ever been to. You know what I mean? It's weird how this thing works. And this is a whole bunch here. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will be done, not mine. That is huge. And then if like, all right, well, when I first read it, I'm like, how am I supposed to, I don't know what your vision for me is, you know what I mean? How am I supposed to do that? And this may sound weird, but I know it's not my vision. Whatever God's vision is, it's not mine. You know what I mean? And if I'm the, if I'm being of service, that's how I, for me, that's how I see I'm doing God's vision for me, is for my higher power. If I'm being of service and I'm trying to do something for other people that takes me out of myself, whether it be working with another alcoholic or just at work, trying to be of service, opening up the door. If I'm thinking in that progression of life, like if I'm thinking like that, man, life, some of the weirdest things happen. I don't know if it's weird, but things happen in my life, and I look back on some of those things when I'm in that, when I'm doing that, and I look back on that, and it's like, wow, I didn't, had no idea my life was going to take that turn. You know what I mean? And I would have never, my life would have never done that. If I, like, I'll say this, if I would have ever thought about, like, when I first got sober, write down all your wishes, all your wildest dreams of what you want, and put them on a piece of paper, I would have sold myself short with everything that God has given me in this program as a result of this deal. So I used to want to know how this thing worked and really want to, like, man, get into the weeds. I want to really know how this thing works. And it drove me nuts because I don't know how it works. I know I'm not my higher, I know I'm not God, and I know this thing is, as long as I stay out of the way, and I don't care how it works now, all I know is it does. And it's been a blessing. And like I said, I wish I could do this, like, it would be awesome, because it's like a cycle for me. I'll do really, really good. I'm like, oh, and then it's like things start going so great, and you're like, oh, man, life is great. I have no problems whatsoever. Everything's good. I got it. And I get right back, and I'll start holding on to stuff. And then pretty soon, I'm like, I'm getting tired. I'm struggling emotionally. I'm just spent, and I'm like, what am I doing? And I, like, get so tired, and it takes me, I'm hard-headed, so it takes a good, usually it's a big old piece of humble pie, you know what I mean? And then it's like, and I never would, you know, it's like, be careful what you pray for. And it's like, okay, yeah, I, like Travis brought it up earlier, I'm like, I'm thankful for those humble pies when I get those, you know? Be careful when I pray, you know what I mean? And, because, you know, it's like, but nowadays I would rather have it that way, you know? And, because, again, I have a toolkit here. I have a half-inch wrench at all times, you know what I mean, to work on everything that works, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm mumbling right now, so thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. All right, and this is our last reading. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action.
So I like how this talks about receiving strength, inspiration, direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. You know, I have different things that pop into my mind frequently, depending on what I'm going through when I'm checking my step 10 and seeing what it is. And one of the things that was really, really hard for me for a while was the whole fear thing, and being able to kind of turn that over. And I had heard it, I don't know, it might have been on a speaker tape or something at some point. And I know I've said it before, but somewhere someone said that fear is the absence of faith. And when I looked at it that way, it was much easier for me to be like, why am I fearful about this? You know, obviously, again, there's something that's blocking me in my relationship with my higher power. And, you know, I love what Clint said, because I completely agree. You know, I do this thing where I do rest on my laurels and I, like, coast down, and things are getting worse, but I don't really see them getting worse. And then, like, something kickstarts me to like start doing what the book says again, and then it's like, wow, why did I stop doing that? You know, things go so much better when I do. And it's just something that is very, very funny to me, because I don't know why would I stop doing something that I can see it works in so many ways. But then that's kind of those reminders, and you know, you get those like small wins. Like, I am not someone, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think about is myself 99.999% of the time. But that 0.001, like today was actually one of those days, surprisingly, like where I woke up and like my eyes opened. And I immediately said the third step prayer, and I was like that success kid meme, like, yes, like it happened. Like, it happened once. That's awesome. Because that's not the way I operate. But when I you know, we talk about this God consciousness, this vital sixth sense, and of course more action, right? Like, that's at each like conclusion step in the book, it's all right, let's talk about more action, more action, and more action. And the great gift of it is that action never stops. That I just need to keep doing this thing, and keep remaining teachable. Realize that I don't have all the answers, and that I can probably talk to someone who does, or at least has a way to deal with whatever I have going on in my life. And then I get to go and, you know, and through step 11, kind of enhance that relationship, and then spread the gift that I was so freely given in step 12. And you know, when I do those things, my life is significantly better than when I don't. You know, another thing, I keep talking him up, I'm gonna give him such an ego, but another thing my sponsor likes to say is that the biggest catalyst for human change is pain in the absence of pleasure. And that's kind of where I'm at, where that's kind of where I need to be at sometimes, in order to realize, take that humble pie, and recognize that I'm not always right, and that I still have a lot to learn. I was going to say something else, but I completely lost my train of thought.
Yeah, I got it. I'll come back to it if you remember.
All right.
Well, by this point in the steps, I have become God conscious, and I don't know about a sixth sense. I don't know exactly what that gets into, but I know this is like the biggest part of my life, and that's is my higher power, and that's. Without that, there's nothing else for me. And it talks about getting into, I love this, like I get into traps, I love this paragraph, this next paragraph, which we'll get into step 11. These things are all, it's like everything, the more I read this, like how many, I've read the 10th step, I don't know how many times, and each time I read it, I'm sure there's something else catches it, and something different. And I love this book, the way it's written simply, pretty simple, and as far as like directions, if I do this, I will get this, you know, and there's an outcome to this. And when I started reading the black parts, and not the reading in between the lines with a sponsor, and doing this deal, my life changed. This is definitely, like I said earlier, this is the easier, softer way, and it was definitely changed my life for the better. So thanks for letting me share.
I think I'll jump back in real quick.
Okay, yeah, come on in.
I'm doing it. I'm jumping back in.
There we go.
Because I didn't even like close with any like normal stuff, right? So got so sidetracked. I've said it a few times tonight, but you know, doing this program is not my idea. I tried doing it a lot of different ways, and I found it easiest with what actually worked was doing what's written in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And for me to digest that and understand that, I had to have a sponsor who walked me through the steps, and who took of his time and sat down and read this book with me and taught me, because, you know, I read a lot of this on my own. I went through this period of where I was sponsoring myself. While brief, it was a time. And I had read the book all by myself. And I was like, yeah, I got this. I don't understand. Like, I'm a fairly intelligent guy. I can read. But, you know, when you have someone that you can ask questions to and kind of relate to, and share some of those stories that and know that, like, hey, this is actually where I belong, it makes this whole process much more effective, as well as much more simple and easy. And I'm really grateful to be here tonight. Thanks for letting me share.
All good down there?
Good.
All right. Yes, we are. Sorry about that. Let's thank our speakers, guys. Yeah, I blame myself. I'm like all over the place. I got everything scattered up here, and nothing what I need was in front of me. All right. Let's pass the seventh tradition baskets. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any AA-related announcements? I have one, but I'll let y'all go first. Sterling had his hand up first, I think, right?
I'm Sterling, I'm an alcoholic.
Nice, Sterling.
Thursday, November 1st, downtown Young and Sober's having a potluck for its 14th anniversary. Potluck is at 7, and the speaker is at 8. Spring dish if you wish.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We got two. Whichever.
My name's Melissa, I'm an alcoholic.
My name's Melissa.
Hello, I'm Robert, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Robert.
Just to reinforce what Melissa said about Biscuit Piles, October the 26th, 27th, 28th, coming up, Young People's State, Virginia State Conference of Young People and Alcoholics and Alcoholics.
Awesome.
I'm an alcoholic named David.
Hey, David.
I would also like to reinforce what Melissa said. The Gratitude Breakfast, there's been a time change on that. It's going to start at 9:30 a.m. The flyer is wrong, so the printed material is wrong. 9:30 a.m. for Bayside Presbyterian on November 10th.
Show up early if you have service.
Huh?
Show up early if you have service.
Show up between 8 and 8:15, and we can put you to work cooking.
I hear they need help.
Help!
All right, I have one, too. What do you know? I don't know if any of y'all have seen these beautiful orange pumpkin flyers. Just in time for the season. That is for this home group's supper and a speaker on Monday, November 12th. We would love to see you guys. I know I've seen a lot of y'all's faces there. You know we have a great time. The potluck is at 6 p.m. Bring a dish if you wish. If not, bring yourself. We would love to see you. The speaker is at 7, and his name is Merv, and he's coming down from Charlottesville, from the mountains. So yeah, y'all should definitely be there. It'll be great. It'll be awesome. So yeah, that's all for me. Any other announcements? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Will all home group members please raise their hands? Thank you, guys. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you.
My name is Andrea, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Andrea. Welcome.
Hey, Kevin. Welcome.
Hey, Tom. Welcome.
Welcome. Hey, Jennifer. Welcome.
Brian.
Brian. Welcome.
Anybody else? Sure. All right.
We got one more in the back corner.
My name is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Welcome.
I didn't see the hand. Thank you. All right. Literature is available. Right here to my left, we've got a nice selection of books and pamphlets. If you can fold it, it's free. No, you cannot fold the books, so don't try. Please see a home group member after the meeting if you would like to purchase any literature. Sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be right here at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. I don't bite. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. In closing, let's thank the panel one more time. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol. It's on 22nd and Colonial. You hit the train tracks, you've gone too far. You'll see it on your right-hand side. I've asked a friend to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. David looks like he's gearing up for it.
Alcoholic David.
Hey, David.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right. Thank you all. Let's close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
Father.